It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I'm with you every single Sunday, talking about the things that matter in life and, of course, the afterlife. I encourage you to be bold and brave and go to the phone with your theology question or life situation question anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. I've often heard people argue about the concept of God being just and what that means. And then you'll hear people argue about grace and what that means, or love and what that means. You see, the two are a necessity. And when they're separated, you can't get either. Without grace or love or understanding, you can't have justice. You can't have righteousness. And when those things are put in the hands of humans, you'll find that they get polluted and perverted into something that is incredibly dangerous. You hear a lot about cancel culture today. And cancel culture is not new, by no means. As a matter of fact, those that complain about it very rarely understand the history of it. Going back since day one, in the Garden of Eden, you saw blame, which is the first step in cancel culture. What do I mean by that? Well, you had, first of all, Adam blaming Eve. Well, she is the one who gave it to me. Then Eve blaming the serpent. And you'll find this throughout Scripture. People in the church, some you could argue maybe were trying to do it for the right reasons, and many did it to try and control, used the concept of cancel culture throughout the history of any belief system to try and separate people, to try and judge people in a way that was public and shaming, with the desire to set apart and manipulate. Do this or else. And the strange part about it is that you find this happening in the Judeo-Christian belief system as well. Yeah, the very thing that I'm trying to explain to you as being not good and not healthy actually has been tied into the church for a long time, not only through the realities that took place of public shaming or people in power, Constantine, or you have people that combined their religious beliefs with government, with a theocracy that ends up manipulating or twisting people or moving people down the path of a belief system, to stories like the Scarlet Letter and things like this, where the whole point is to shame and to separate. But it's not about cleansing. It's never about cleansing. It's never about true insight and repentance. Now, repentance is a big theological term, and it sounds very weighty and religious, but it just means to turn away. Just means to turn from the thing in which is pulling you down to the thing which will lift you up. But the current method, the current style of cancel culture, is not to lift the person, the other person up. It's to lift you up by pushing someone else down. And that's where it becomes the complete opposite of reformation, of growing somebody into something that is better than where they are, which is God's goal. Throughout Scripture, you'll see terms about weights and balances a lot. Proverbs 16:11 says, "A just balance and scales are the Lord's." Goes on to say, "All the weights in the bag are his work." You'll see a lot of references to this, and some of them are metaphoric, because what they're talking about is pointing to the proper balance of justice and grace, for one. But two, there are literal times where in the marketplace, you'd get somebody, a merchant, who would either try and weigh down the scale with their thumb in order to get more money. And it points to the fact that the scales, if you're going to use a system to judge, has to be as pure as possible. Otherwise, if you say, well, I've got a scale here, and I'm judging based on the scale, well, if the scale is manipulated, then the scale doesn't matter anymore. It's a false hope at having justice, but it's not real. It just makes you feel like, well, there's a scale there, so it's got to be real. But if the person purchasing is pulling the scale to be lighter in their direction, and the merchant selling, is pulling the scale to make it heavier and cost more, then the scale doesn't matter anymore. Likewise, if you remove one side of the scale, there's no more balance. Are there people that need to be taught? Absolutely. Are there people who are doing things that are abhorrent and you need to shine a light on them? Absolutely. But when you're shining the light on someone so that someone doesn't shine the light on you, it's not justice. When you think that you're bringing justice and shining a light on something, but there's zero grace, zero place or path for redemption, that's not true justice either. The perversion nowadays with cancel culture is a problem that has been throughout the centuries. And that is when all you're trying to do is blame others or judge others for the problems or the ills of the world. It's the center of every problem the world already has. Separation, racism, misogyny, any of these things come from the desire to put the blame on someone else for your issues. And it's a distraction. It's a distraction from people looking at you. And I assure you, if you're a part of this chain of cancel culture, it will eventually get to you. It always will come around. Because Scripture starts off with this simple premise. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the only standard, the measuring rod, the canon, is God. So unless you're God, get in line. Society. It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I'm with you every single Sunday, right here answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and the afterlife. I encourage you to be bold and brave and go to the phone with your theology question or life situation question anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. Cancel culture, nothing new. Nothing new at all. But understanding that there is a time to shine a light on injustice. Absolutely, hands down, no argument. But understanding what true justice is, understanding what mercy, grace, and justice and the balance of that is really why I came to Earth at all. You know, I've said for years how you can follow us on Twitter during the show and during the week at Jesus Show. And Artemis actually points out something profound, but funny. When he tweeted that 2,000 years ago, they tried to cancel me as well. And that's the exact type of cancel culture I'm trying to explain. There's no mercy, no understanding, no grace. It's just the assumption that if you get rid of something, a people, a sex, a belief system, a color, that your life is going to be better. That's based on fear and ignorance. That's not just. And in the United States, you have the most ridiculous battle between political parties. To say that one is better or more necessary than the other defeats the purpose. Could you imagine one party? That the whole purpose of balance is lost. And it's getting more rigid because the ignorance and emptiness of social media, and don't get me wrong, it has great power and purpose as well. But I'm gonna let you in on a little secret, because I've heard this forever. People blaming religion for wars. But there is only one consistency ever in war or anything else, and that's humanity. You go through all the wars in history, and there's different religions, there's different concerns, there's different things that are subject to both sides. But the only consistency is humanity. And right now, humanity jumps into anything that has great power and purpose and can be used for good, and they pollute it and pervert it to their own bias and beliefs. Canceling things is necessary. And on rare occasion, you as a public can cancel people. I do not. And you better thank God that I don't have the same attitude as you, because you would be standing in a different line as well. Proverbs 31:9 says, open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. You need to stand in that justice. Psalm 106:3, blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times, not when it's okay for you. Leviticus 19:15, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality or favoritism to the high or to the low, to the poor or to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Live by these words, or you will be judged by them too. It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I am with you every single Sunday right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and the afterlife. I encourage you to check us out on Twitter at Jesus Show, at Jesus Show on Twitter, during the show and during the week. You can find us there. I encourage you to be bold and brave and go to the phone with your theology questions or life situation questions anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. Lee, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Hello, yes.
Hi, how can I help you?
Yeah, I just have a question. I'm an atheist, and I have a lot of questions in regard to morality in the Bible.
Sure.
And one topic is slavery. Mm-hmm. And my question is, would you agree that slavery is immoral?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, it clearly states in the Bible instruction on how to own a slave. And if the Bible is the living word of God, why would he condone slavery?
Ah, well, that's more of a misunderstanding. It would be the equivalent of me saying, do you believe love is a good thing? Do
yes.
you, Lee?
Yeah.
Okay, so if a man deeply loves children and underage kids with a physical love, is that a bad thing?
No.
No. Hear me correctly. If an adult has physical love with a child, is it a bad thing?
Well, that's considered molestation.
Yes, exactly. So if you use the same word, love, it can be confusing because you have to look at the context of how it's being used, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at Scripture then. The reason why people get confused with this is because the term slavery that is used in Scripture is not describing racial slavery in the same sense, in the same way as the past hundreds of years. So people get confused with it, and they see the word slavery or bond servant, and they mistake it for the racial slavery that the United States and others participated in the past centuries. Totally different. Now, what the Bible refers to as that type of slavery is something called man-selling, which it condemns. Exodus 21:16 says, whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him shall be put to death. Totally different. So it does not condone slavery that you're talking about anywhere in Scripture. What it does condone is a type of slavery or bond servitude, which was different than what the slavery you're speaking about. Now, what this was never a race-based issue at all or a class-based issue, because Scripture is very clear in Genesis 1:27 that all men and women are created equal and in the image of God. So there's never any classification of human beings. So the Bible's clear about that. So what you have to do is now look at Genesis that says all men are exactly the same, all men and women are created the same, and then you look at Exodus 21:16 that says you can't steal a man or sell him, and if you're found in possession, you'll be put to death. And you start seeing that the Bible's not talking about slavery the way you are talking about slavery. So when you get into the bond servants, you're talking about doctors, lawyers, all kinds of different people from all different walks of life that get into financial debt, and to pull themselves out, sell their services as a bond servant to a master to be in servitude to them by their choice as a servant or a slave, by the translation, to repay debts. Completely different than someone being stolen from a homeland, treated as a lower class or as less than human, and then being forced into labor. Totally, completely different. And people often apply them to be the same thing and then get confused. But obviously, as I said in Exodus 21:16, it's incredibly clear that the concept of man stealing, which is the equivalent of more modern slavery, like within the last 300 years, or skipping to today, a lot of people don't know this or think about it, but you have over 20 million people in the world that are still in slavery to this day. Forced labor, sex trade, all of these types of things. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about people that were in debt of all classes, of all walks of life, that were trying to pay off debt by going into work as a servant to someone, which is why Scripture is so clear about how that servant should be treated. Completely different. It's not the same slavery at all in any way, shape, or form.
All right. Yeah, the Bible does mention that, and that's why I kind of find contradictions, because it also states in the Bible, in Leviticus 25:44-46, it clearly states, however you may purchase male or female slaves from among the foreigners who live among you. You may also purchase the children of such resident foreigners, including those who have been born in your land. You may treat them as your property, passing them on to your children as a permanent inheritance. You may treat your slaves like this, but the people of Israel, your relatives, must never be treated this way. Like I said, Leviticus 25.
No, when you're looking at religious or you're talking about, people see the Bible as one book underneath one cover, but you're talking about 60-plus books written over a span of 1,400 years by 40-some-odd authors in three different languages, and it has to be interpreted through the rest of Scripture, not just taking one particular verse out, otherwise it can be misconstrued. You take the entirety of what they call the harmony or hermeneutics of Scripture. If you're going to go through what they call proof texting and pointing out certain texts, then you have to parse it to find out if it is a reference to what it's seated, the context in which it's seated, and what it's talking about. In the case of the Scripture that you're talking about, dealing with the Levitical laws, you're dealing with spiritual laws, and you're dealing with things that set the Jewish people apart or separate from the Canaanites or those that were pagans. And it's specifically religious reasons, not the things in which you're saying. So you take it out of context, and yes, it starts, you know, making people very concerned. But there are people that will take documents and misrepresent them by taking those things and parts of whole. Keep in mind that slavery took place under a constitution that said that all men were created equal as well. So people will pick and choose what they want. There is nowhere in Scripture ever where slavery, the type of racial slavery that you think about when you're thinking about slavery in the past 300 years, 400 years, is condoned ever. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not talked about, just the same way that people with multiple wives are talked about. And it will talk about things saying how multiple wives should be treated, but it never condones it. And later on, we'll say that it doesn't condone it. And that confusion happens in Scripture to people that are reading bits and pieces rather than understanding the harmony of Scripture.
Okay, yeah, I get you. However, I mean, it's either wrong or it's right.
It's wrong. That's why I give you Exodus 21:16. This is talking about the slavery you're talking about. And it says that anyone that does that shall be put to death, which I think is pretty clear.
Okay, but there's other Scripture that indicates...
Not in context. You can't... That's not the way Scripture works. There's not... That's not the... It doesn't indicate anything. What I'm saying is that if you delve into the study of the context of that verse, seated in the context of that verse, then you would understand that it's not talking about what you think it is talking about.
Okay, what other context could there be for owning...
It's talking about the passing on. It's talking about the passing on of debt, of a family debt. It's totally different than what you're saying. The property, property means that they are accountable for it, and that they need to take care of it, and that they are accountable for the people that they are dealing with that are in their servitude. It's not talking about what you think. It's not passing down property in this. You're equating those same words. For instance, if you
come across certain passages that say, in my house there will be no bull, it's not talking about, the vulgar word that is used in modern day language. It's talking about an actual bull. If it talks about somebody being stoned in scripture, it's not talking about them smoking pot. You're applying modern day terms to something that was not in modern day. And I'm saying that when it's talking about property, it's talking about the passing down of debt, not about the person being a human property. How do we know that? Because, again, when we go to Exodus 21:16, it clarifies it and says that that's not the case.
Okay, well,
that's the same with the Constitution. If you read the Constitution, you have clarifications in the amendments. You can't just take something out from one place and ignore the rest. It's not the way it works. So you have to see it in the fullness. I know this is very popular these days, that everyone wants to take everything out of context that people say so that they can make it mean something. But I'm telling you, in the fullness of Scripture, that's not what it means. Okay. Because if I edited this conversation we're having right now, if I edited what you said, I could make you say that you think slavery is okay. But that's not your call, right? So don't do the same thing. Don't edit Scripture and take things out of context so they'll say what you think you want them to say. If you want to be an atheist, be an atheist. But be an atheist for intellectually honest reasons, not for fake straw man arguments that make you feel good about your decision.
Okay.
Right? That's a fair thing to say.
Yes, if you would let me explain where I'm coming from. It specifically said in the scripture that children are a permanent inheritance. So what context could you possibly get from that and what it is?
Children being in a permanent inheritance means that the bloodline, the family itself, owes the debt. The family. That's not saying that the children are property in the same way you're saying that they're property. They're saying that they should be cared for, and that they should be they are not separate from the debt in any way, shape, or form. That was based on how children were perceived at the time, not based on slavery. I'm saying what you are calling slavery is not the same. You're taking one thing out of context. Now, if we wanted to be specific, I could go back and take things out of context. I could say that you are okay with pedophilia because when I asked you the question earlier, you answered it incorrectly. And you're not, because I know that you needed further explanation of what I was saying for you to answer correctly. And you keep standing on the same verse trying to get it to say what you want it to say. And I'm saying, no, Scripture condemns slavery, the type of slavery you mean. The first thing you learn when you debate in life, the first thing in a formal debate is to define terms, because what you say is slavery, someone else might say is something different. I'm defining the terms, Lee, and I'm explaining to you that what the Bible refers to as slavery is bond servitude, different. What the Bible says is man stealing is what you call slavery, and the Bible condemns that. That's it, my friend. That's just the truth. Now, you can keep going back to that same verse, and we can parse it. We can get into the actual original language, if you want, and start parsing what the words mean and what they are in context. But I somehow don't believe that that's going to change anything. If there's another question you have that has been a stickler with your atheism, I'd love to answer it. But to go round and round on something that you're not grasping is futile.
All right. Well, to me, it's just semantics, because you're telling me that servant, bond servant.
I'm saying that verse doesn't mean what you think it means, and you're going to keep reading it over and over again. And I can tell you that there's nowhere in Scripture that says don't chew on broken glass, but there are things that imply it. And if you read Scripture the way you're reading it for proof text, you're not going to get the answer. You're going to read into it what you want it to mean. And I'm saying it does not mean that. It just does not. And the rest of Scripture shines light on it. That's the way hermeneutics and the study of Scripture works. And if you want to keep jumping up and down on that, on that word, then we have to go through and parse it. And it's kind of outside of the scope of one particular phone call. But I appreciate it. I hope that maybe you come up with some other questions and give us a call again. I'd be happy to get into it more as time allows.
No, I won't. It is the Jesus Christ Show. I am your holy host. Happy to be with you this Sunday, as I'm with you every single Sunday right here, answering your questions and talking about the things that truly matter in life and the afterlife. I encourage you to be bold and brave and go to the phone with your theology questions or life situation questions anywhere in the U.S. of A. Dial 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534.
The Bible can't say what you want it to say. It can only say what it does say. And something only means what it means in its context. It's been said before that a text out of context is a pretext, because if it's not seated in something, it means nothing. For instance, if you say, I'm working on a table tonight, that doesn't mean anything until you seat it in its context. Are you a mathematician? Is it a mathematical table? Are you a carpenter and building a table? Maybe you're a baker and you're going to be making something on the table. The context is incredibly important. And my hope is that if there are people truly seeking, truly wanting to know what Scripture says, that they will allow the entirety of Scripture to have a voice and not just one particular verse.